Most financial advisors follow the industry playbook. Elite advisors choose a different path. I'm Sten Morgan. Welcome to the Elite Financial Advisor Podcast, where top advisors share the strategies, mindsets, and the stories behind building a better business, adding more value, and the courage to grow through resistance. Because becoming an elite advisor is not about working harder and longer. It's about choosing a better path.
What's beautiful about the five voices, it's like a lens. It's like you can see yourself better. And then when you look in the mirror, you go, oh my gosh, I have broccoli in my teeth. It's really frustrating, honestly, as I'll have certain leaders like, hey man, I am who I am, you know? If they can't deal with it, then that's their fault. And I'm like, well, that's just lazy. You're minimizing your influence from the get-go. Culture is atmosphere. If the gardener positions the plant in the right sunlight, gives them the right amount of water, it gives them a chance to really grow, and that plant wants to grow, why would I want to leave this culture?
In today's episode, we're going to be hanging out with Jeremy Kubicek, a good friend of mine, founder of Giant Worldwide. This guy has impacted thousands of people's lives in a deep way. He's impacted my life in a deep way. I call him a mentor. Today, we're going to be talking about his system. He calls it the five voices. I've used this to assess my team, to give us all more clarity on how are we built, how do we best communicate and work together. There's a lot of assessments out there. We're going to talk about his book, but the five voices, we'll talk about how we've implemented into my team, but also how can you use it to better understand your team and use it to lead better. Jeremy, welcome back, brother.
Good to be with you, Stan. How you doing, man?
Good. You're one of my friends. If anybody watching Googles Jeremy, you'd be like, man, how many has this guy cloned himself? Because you've done a lot.
it's just how I'm old. That's what it is.
Or just very productive. But we'll go with say productive. You've written so many great books. A lot of people know your name, Giant Worldwide. I want to talk about the five voices, which when we got to hang out, it was great because we were having breakfast. And I think before you humored me a little bit, you asked some questions, but you kind of, I don't know how quickly you figured out what I was. Was it like almost immediate?
I mean, there's things you learn. I mean, sure. you never judge people. You give the people the chance to prove who they are.
That's good.
And yeah.
So what are the five voices? And then I want to kind of back into like how you came up with this and built it.
Yeah. So, the five voices, the way that the world is put together and the way that we were designed as humans, and I'll say designed by a designer, whatever you think that is, but it's pretty evident when you have kids, for instance, can you tell the difference in personality with kids?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. All three kids are totally different. Okay. There's like a design there. So there's nurturers. They make up 43% of the population, and they're the quietest. 70% of them are female. So they're mostly teachers and nursing and stay-at-home moms and, you know, very caring, nurturing people. There's 9%, and they're the quietest. Then there's another 30% of the population called guardians. And they're 70% male. So you got nurturers, you have guardians, but 73% of them make up present orientation. So they're thinking about today up through the weekend, but they're not thinking about the future as much. Mm-hmm. So the future voices are the creative, then 9% of the population, introverts. So they're thinking internally about all the things that could be. Connectors, extroverts. Connectors are like bees. They're constantly pollinating and connecting people. And then there's pioneers, and they're like the generals that are trying to take the mountain. And there's 7% of the population. So there's 27% that are future oriented, 73% are present oriented. And when you know and understand that in your family dynamics or on your team or to your customers and clients, I mean, it's a game changer because if you learn to speak their language, you'll have more influence than if you didn't.
What's the science behind, because there's a few assessments out there where that I've taken, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I think we all like to think, man, we're so unique. Nobody could ever like poker face. But I took the five voices and you picked up on it being around me not that long. Like, what is it about? Can it really be boiled down to five? I know everybody has like a supplemental one, but like, what's the science behind an assessment that's pretty accurate?
Yeah. So we took the big five, which is the most validated personality assessment. And then we looked at Carl Jung's work, which is where Myers-Briggs came from. And we compiled the formula between both of those. And we basically created the summation is there are 16 different personality types that fit in five kind of containers.
Got it.
So you could be a pioneer connector versus a pioneer creative versus a pioneer guardian. And that second voice shapes you differently. You're a pioneer in general, but the second voice will steer you a different direction. So when you think about it, the beauty of the five voices compared to a lot of other is you're all five of them. We can be all the voices. We're made up of all the voices, but we do have a foundational voice. And so a lot of people try to be someone on TV that they're really not. And when that takes place, it's like, yeah, you're average because you're trying to be a pioneer when you're not really a pioneer. You're a connector, creative pioneer. Hmm. And so once you know, but at the same time, the guardian, for instance, is my lowest voice. But I have to be a guardian in a lot of the work I do, which is detail oriented, black and white, logical. Well, I can do that. I'm just not as good as my wife. She's a guardian nurturer. She's amazing at it. So she's a great guardian nurturer, but she'll never be a connector like me. Yeah. So the idea is I can get into those voices. I can do the other voices, but not as proficiently as my main foundational voice.
When you first went through the exercise, was there any part of you that you were like, I don't like my voice, like the one that's telling me I am?
Well, when I was writing the book and I wrote the Five Voices book, I was like, I am for sure a pioneer connector. I mean, for sure. And then I realized there's no way a pioneer would start over 30 companies. They would never do that. They would start maybe three or four, maybe.
Sure.
And so I realized I'm a connector, creative pioneer, but I play a pioneer on TV.
Got
and
it.
That's what's interesting. And so I play pioneer connector to my teams, but I'm really a connector, creative pioneer at the core.
So when you think of the business owners and you've with Giant Worldwide, you've coached a bunch of people that are out there coaching other people. When it comes to the five voices, there's various assessments. Like what are the best practices for a lot of business owners that are listening now might have a team of three, a team of 10, a team of 20. How do they use an assessment the right way? So it's not like a flash in the pan. We had a 1-2 hour meeting and good luck. Like what's your advice to them? Like using something like this well?
Start with you. Do it first with you. The whole idea is you can't give what you don't possess. So you've got to learn how to lead, but you need to lead out of who you really are. So the first idea is know yourself to lead yourself. And what's beautiful about the five voices is it's like a mirror. It gives you it's like a lens. It's like you can see yourself better. And then when you look in the mirror, you go, oh my gosh, I have broccoli in my teeth. I had no idea. So know what your tendencies are. And here's what I mean. A tendency, connectors have a tendency to name drop, overshare. they have a tendency to get really excited like a Cocker Spaniel and just, you know, share way too much. Pioneers have a tendency to be short, impatient. They don't listen very well. You know, guardians have a tendency to interrogate or to ask too many questions or to share too much information that they know. Creatives have a tendency to like pull back and be reserved and you don't know what they're thinking or they have a tendency to not value, the little things because they want everything to be perfect. Nurturers have a tendency to just love on people and not be as business oriented in the workplace and not be as focused on profit or revenue, but more focused on people. So when you know this about the people, there's natural tendencies that you learn about yourself. Well, then you need to know when do those tendencies happen, and what do you normally do? What are the actions that normally take place, which then shape the consequences, right? Yeah. So really the whole goal is to know what your tendencies are and to adapt your actions, just change your actions. And so that's something that the five voices really, really helps you do. And once you've done it for yourself and people see that you're willing to change because you see the broccoli in your teeth, then they'll be open to you talking to them about themselves.
Traditional advisors sell products. Elite advisors prospect with ideas. On July 29th at 2 p.m. Central, I'm hosting a free live training with Matt Kemp and Ian Williams on how to use R&D tax credits to open doors with business owners as potential prospects. This isn't a tax lecture, it's a prospecting system. We'll show you who it fits for, how to identify the right opportunities, and how to confidently start conversations that lead to new relationships. Just click the link in the show notes or visit gobeelite.com/RD. That's gobeelite.com/RD. I'll see you there. We did it with the whole team. And it was really interesting, led to some funny moments because we've worked together long enough that when stuff starts being said and I was the guinea pig at first, everybody's just like nodding their head, you know, pioneer creative, of course. That's why he has so many ideas, you know, and then the idea that like they're usually running ahead, you know, and it's like, hey, who's coming with me? And they don't really look back often enough, you know, to like who's actually understands where we're going with me. How would you coach people up on a team? And I want to talk about kids because that two oldest actually took it. And I was surprised because it took a little time. Like there's enough meat that it's not like a 2-minute assessment. Yeah, yeah. It's like you got to sit. Yeah, yeah. But when it comes to leaders listening now in their teams, so they take it themselves, hopefully increase their awareness. How do they apply it? How do you roll it out to a team effectively?
Yeah. So there's a number of ways. I mean, first is it's just going to our operating system, the five voices, and reading your own assessment. And then if you get into, if you go deeper, you can add AI to it. And there's a paywall for you to be able to use five voices AI, $10 a month. It's not very expensive. And then there are, so you start learning yourself. There's other videos you can watch about yourself. So it's like I said, all those tendencies you're learning. Then you start using five voices AI with other people. And if you take it as a team, it knows who's all your team members. So you might then be able to go, hey, I got an email from Sten, put it into five voices AI, go, how should I respond to this?
Nice.
Or what is he saying? And it's now because it knows you and it knows me. Yeah. And now it's giving the right response to know how to respond to one another. So that's
another
way.
Reverse passive aggressive filter. It can help you undo
that. And then, you know, if you wanted to go in deeper, let's say you have a larger organization and you go, well, I'd love to go through this. Then you can either get someone on your team can get certified. And then it unlocks layers upon layers of like, real practical team performance. And it starts getting into communication of the team, relational trust with the team, alignment with the team, execution with your team, and then capacity building with your team. And so that's a whole nother layer. And if you still want to go deeper than that, then we have something called the Five Voices Leader Academy, where you can train your own people, or Five Voices for Teams, you train your teams to start knowing, because a lot of times in larger organizations, team leaders, team members start following their tribal team leader. And if they're mad at the other team leader, then they create silos. And it's like a really great way to eliminate that drama.
What's the voice that's best to get trained in this? If somebody's in a company and they're saying, this is the kind of person that best rolls out and implements something like this, is there one that comes to mind?
Yeah, but it's not a personality type. It's actually somebody who's the most passionate person who wants to fight for the highest possible good of the culture and the company and the team. So they're fighting for people. They want people to get healthy, but they also have influence. Okay. So it's like you got to have someone who's passionate to get for the people to get better, perform and work at a higher level, and someone who people will listen to. Because if you get someone who's really passionate but has no influence, then it can sometimes get mitigated.
Yeah. How did your kids take it while you were building it, or did you wait until it was finished?
Yeah. No, they took it. They were guinea pigs, and they're often, we were always, we lived in this old manor house in London when we were building it. I wrote it in the Astor, the Clifton house in the Astor family, estate. And and it was, really cool. And Steve Cockrum, Steve was the original, brain behind it, creation, because he was playing with it. And then I wrote the book and we co-authored and co-created the five voices. But our kids were being guinea pigs. Our wives, everyone was being guinea pigged the whole entire time. But it was just super fun, because I think the difference, what we were trying to accomplish, was we wanted it to work for an educated 13-year-old. And what we found is that most of the personality, they're really great tools. I mean, I'm a major fan of DISC and Myers-Briggs and Enneagram, but they don't scale very well.
Sure.
And people get labeled too easily. So if you're like, oh, well, you must be a 7 or you must be a 4. And if I don't know what that means, then all of a sudden you just labeled me and I can't play. Or you're an ENTJ, aren't you?
And so I have no idea what you just said. Yeah,
no one knows. Or you're a high D with a little bit of I, and so it's too complicated. So it doesn't last very long in organizations. Whereas five voices, I mean, we're going on our 8th year, I think, at Google, and I mean, it's like inside Pfizer and companies of all sizes and shapes, because it's super memorable. It's easy to go, yeah, connector, got it. Well, if I want to go deeper, are you a connector creative pioneer or connector creative nurturer? So if you know it, you can go in layers.
Yeah.
But just at the core, connector, that I already got you. Got it. Yeah. I know how to communicate with you now. And that's enough information.
Yeah. We've added it to our hiring process. I feel more equipped going into interviews, and obviously still need to hear their story, but it's helped me personalize it a little faster.
Yeah. And you know, you got to be, I'll just say this disclaimer, you got to be very careful there, because anyone can play any role. Any personality can fit any role. Now, I say all that, and then I'll say, however, you're probably not going to have as many connectors who are going to be your controller.
Yeah.
They probably don't want, now they can, they could do it, they could learn, but they're probably going to be more natural for a guardian to do that.
Yep.
And so the guardian role becomes now really important. So I get it. It's like, but you know, people always ask me, so is there a specific person that should be CEO? And I'm like, anyone could be a CEO. It's just going to look different. If a pioneer is a CEO, that's a traditional. You know, a pioneer guardian is probably a traditional CEO, or a pioneer connector or someone like that. But a nurturer can be a CEO, but the company will just feel different.
That's fair. Elite advisors don't just consume information, they implement it. That's why we created a free companion guide for every new Elite Advisor episode, a practical tool that'll help you turn today's conversation into real action. Inside, you'll find a concise summary, insights, and actionable next steps you can take to put this to work immediately. Just click the link in the show notes or visit gobeelite.com/guide today. When you think about financial advisors running practices, lots of different clients, you mentioned using it for clients or customers. How would you coach up a financial advisor? Obviously, do it yourself, understand it, use it with your team, obviously kind of culture build, more connection there. But when it comes to customers, what's that look like?
Yeah, so let's go first, marketing and prospecting. Mm-hmm. If you know that you're talking to a guardian, for instance, they're going to want details. Mm-hmm. If you know you're talking to a nurturer, you're going to start with, how's it going? How's your family? Tell me about your people. How are you feeling about things right now, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to talk about people. But don't go to a Pioneer or a Guardian and start talking about their dog or their cat or their vacation. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, you've lost them. Yeah. So here's how I would tell people. If you know you're a feeler, then and you know the other people across from you are a feeler, then it's okay to start with people. Character and chemistry, how's it going? But if they're a thinker, start with competency and credibility. Uh-huh. Okay, guys, what are you thinking about? What do you want? Here's what my agenda is for today. Does that feel anything you want to add? And they're going to appreciate the logic and the rationale and the flow. And then at the very end, they might go, well, how's your family? Or at the very end, you might go, how's your family? But understand, read the room. So the beauty is prospecting is important. Working with clients is important, especially to help them with the dynamics. As a financial advisor, if you have a spouse and, you know, husband and wife, and let's say a husband is a pioneer, okay, and the wife is a nurturer, which is stereotypical a lot of. But if that's the case, they're already going to have some tension there because they're nemesis voices. And they probably work through it and all those things. Yeah. But you're going to, if you address the husband and mitigate the spouse as a nurturer, it's like, so she values the kids and their health or their relationships or whatever. And he's thinking about the portfolio.
Yeah.
So it's learning how to speak the languages of both. That's so good. The idea is every voice is like a different language. So some people speak French, some people speak Russian, some people speak German, some English, some Chinese. Okay. Speak their language. Yeah. So I lived in Russia, spent 2 years in Russia, learned the language. So when I meet a Russian and I speak their language, I'm like, как чизен, да? Ты понимаешь? And they're like, oh my gosh, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Or like, you're speaking my language because I've taken the time to speak their language. Yeah. They're going to respond better. So in the same way, if you're speaking to a pioneer, speak to what they value, results, details. Don't waste my time.
That's good.
Speaking to a nurturer, talk about their dog. Whatever, but talk about their kids. So that's just respect.
Yeah, it is tough. I look back, there are times where like small talk, like my heart wants to have it because I want to be with people and I want to know, but my mind is like, when is this conversation going to be over? And that tension is so frustrating because I'm just like, is that a bad thing? Or if I'm like, man, if this could be a 2-minute conversation instead of 10 and we accomplish the same thing. And so there were parts, especially as you know, you introduced me to this and I started working through it, to where at times I feel like, man, maybe that's a weakness of mine. But after, you know, hearing more of your stuff, it's like, no, I just have to learn to manage to that. Like I'm not doing anything wrong per se, but it is if it's a blind spot, I think that's tough as a leader. If I didn't know that was happening.
Know yourself, lead yourself. And the thing that it's really frustrating, honestly, is I'll have certain leaders like, hey man, I am who I am. You know, if they can't deal with it, then that's their fault.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's just lazy.
Sure.
And so then you're minimizing your influence from the get-go and you're using raw power of your title, or maybe you're the boss, so you write their checks, but you're producing compliance. You're not producing endearment or engagement. Yeah. And I want people to run through walls for me. Well, I have to know them. I have to learn their language, talk to them. Today I had a meeting with two guardians on some of my team. I'm like, guys, all right, what's the agenda today? And let them lay the agenda out. And then I'm speaking to them like, so what do you think is going right? Right. I didn't say feel. I said, think. What do you think is going right now? And they're like, we're doing this and this and this and this. I'm like, great. And where do you need my help? Great.
Nice. Yeah.
And then, so I'm going through this process. And at the very end, we got through all of it. I go, is there anything else? Nope. You've answered everything. Thank you. That's so helpful. Then it was like, so how's your family? And we talked to them. It was so good. It's just learning these nuances to be a people whisperer. So the five voices is the very best at communication. It just is. It's the very best tool for communicating and building relational trust with people. So if you want to learn how to do that and be a people whisperer, then you got to learn the language of the voice that you're on the other side of.
if the motivation to do that was to get some result, and you've talked about this before, like the difference between like leading to control people versus leading to like you're calling people up to their potential. Control feels safer. It's like I'm using these chess pieces for my outcome. The lifting up, and I've kind of experienced this now, like then you risk somebody going to do something else. Like you were just like a season for them. And it's like, well, then I have to backfill that role and I'd rather not do that. So how do I keep people here? For all the people listening, you know, I've lived this out. Like, what is your encouragement to us that like it's worth it, even if it doesn't seem like it's the easiest route?
What I would say is this, maybe a little different than that. The word culture, right? Culture is atmosphere. So atmosphere is for a plant in a greenhouse. If the atmosphere is good, if the gardener positions the plant in the right sunlight, gives them the right amount of water, gives them a chance to really grow, and that plant wants to grow, why would I want to leave this culture to go die in another culture?
Sure.
So I go to another greenhouse and the gardener doesn't care and he waters me just like he waters all the other plants. And now I'm put underneath a desk and there's no sunlight. So what I would say is build the best culture. Okay, so I'm gonna give you one more analogy. I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. I live in Oklahoma City, so I'm a Thunder fan. And they're kind of villains to a lot of people. People don't like because they're good. and they built an unbelievable culture, great coaching, great recruiting. They've got great facilities, a great fan base, and a great general manager. And so if you're mad at that, get better.
Sure.
So then the players used to, people would go, why would you ever want to go to Oklahoma City? And now Shea Gilgeous-Alexander said, I never want to leave here. Never want to leave here. Like, this is where I will be. And what he's saying is like, I'm thriving here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to build a great business, build an amazing culture, well, what are the 4 to 5, 6 things you have to do? To do that, build the culture. If you're keeping someone on the team because you're afraid of losing them because it's a little bit of hassle and they're a manager, but they're driving everyone else crazy, then you're killing your culture because you're keeping someone because you're afraid you're going to have to hire someone else.
Yeah.
It's like constantly trade up, constantly trade up and build your culture. And you build amazing culture, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, what are some best practices? So as people take this assessment, let's just focus on the layer of them kind of knowing themselves first. What can they anticipate running into? Like an element of denial? Is there a way you can almost guess for financial advisors or leaders in our space? They're mostly this. Like what's, because you've been so deep in it for so long.
Yeah, they're going to they're going to take the test based on who they feel like they should be. Versus just being honest. So I would say just be as honest as possible. Yeah. And then they're going to go, is this at work or is this at home? Because I'm different at home. I'm like, well, then you're playing somebody on TV is what you're doing. So just answer, who are you as a human who works both together? Be honest with it. And then when you do, you'll when you read the results, if you read the results and you're like, yeah, I don't know, that wasn't that big. That wasn't a good test or whatever. Then you didn't take it right, or you answered it to be somebody that you're not. Because when you take it, it's like what happened with Houston. You're like, oh my gosh, they're reading my mail. How do they know this? And then you'll start laughing at going, oh, I totally do that. Because we have a whole section on stress behavior and what you do under stress. And each voice is so funny because the pioneer will blow people up. And the connector will use cyber warfare and then blah, blah, blah. So when you start laughing at it, and there's someone's the Hulk, you know, there's all these different things that that make it real.
Nice. Well, brother, I appreciate all the work you're doing. And I know you're still creating a bunch of stuff. You are, in my friend group, the person that's most bullish on AI applications to make us better. If you were to leave us with some encouragement on where we're going with that, what would you say?
I'm building with a partner a white hat AI factory that is secure with data, but it is a factory. It's unbelievable. I'm using agents. I'm creating content. I'm creating businesses, and I'm building an AI factory for other people to build their own AI factories. Mm. And it's the most magical time to be alive. Wow. That's my view.
What would you say to somebody that knows I need to adopt AI? I maybe don't have the desire or capacity at this moment to go full on to learn the layers that you're mentioning. What's kind of baseline? Like if you implement it to this degree and you're not falling behind?
The way I do it is go to Claude or Claude's better with what I'm about to say, and then put in, here's what I'm wanting to learn or wanting to know. Can you ask me the right questions so that I know that you're following me and that we'll have the right results? And it will give you three to five questions, and it'll hone it in for you.
Yeah.
And it was so funny the other day, I was with this guy and he goes, man, you're so good at it. I need to go watch a course on how to get good at AI. And I'm like, no.
It'll help you.
You need to talk to it.
Got it.
And you just say, hey, look, I'm not very good at this. Can you help me here? What do I do to get started?
Yeah.
And I'm ultimately wanting to know this. What questions should ask me questions to help give me the right answer? And then it trains AI. And mm-hmm. mine is so trained. I have other CEOs and they're like, hey, dude, and they send me their prompt and they go, can you put it into yours? Because I've trained mine. And mine's better than theirs because I've worked with it. It's funny.
Are you dictating into yours mostly? Or are you typing anymore? Or is it all, do you just talk to it?
Kind of both, but I mainly talk to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Brother, appreciate you, man. This was great.
Good to see you, Stan.
Talk soon.